A New Year's Eve sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on December 31, 1991, entitled Tradition, Continuity, and Change. The scripture readings are Isaiah 43, verses 16 through 21, and Luke 2, verses 25 through 35. The texts for the sermon are Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, and Luke 2, verse 34. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
As another year closes, we cannot help but be mindful of the passage of time and of the inevitability of its movement, over which we have no control, one moment following upon another, life simply slipping through our fingers. The very characteristic of our human existence is that we move out of the past and into the future, always existing in that momentary present, grasping that moment, experiencing that moment, and knowing that it will be gone forever. For change is the one constant of our human existence. I suppose the most remarkable example of it, as we reflect back over the past year, is the recent final dissolution of the USSR. As we gathered here a year ago, or two or three, who would have guessed that that possibly could have happened? And yet that's only an illustration of what is true in all of our lives, in our personal stories, and in the institutions of which we are a part, institutions of international, national, community dimension, the institution of our families, of our faith families, of our local congregations. Change is the only constant. Heraclitus, the ancient Greek philosopher, stood and contemplated a river one day and realized that one could never step into a river at the same place and do it into the same river. To step into the river was once, and to go out and step in again was to step into a new river. And as many times as one did that, in and out, one was always into a new river, for one could never step into the same river twice. And it's an image of our lives. The passages of our lives, they were lifted up some years ago. Gail Shee wrote a book entitled Passages, and I think we all became conscious of the fact that we go through certain stages in our lives, and there are certain characteristics that manifest themselves at certain points, and now we begin to understand ourselves better, and our spouses too, as a matter of fact. We say, oh, well, it's just that passage, you know. But, you know, it isn't really just that we have certain passages in our lives, but it is that our life is passage. The question is not how will I handle the passages of my life, but how will I handle my life as passage. I remember in London in the late 60s seeing the wonderful musical Fiddler on the Roof, and then coming back here to the States, and it was made into a screenplay. And I had been embarrassed when somebody asked me after seeing the stage play what the significance, the symbolism of the Fiddler was, and I was embarrassed to say I didn't know. I loved the play, but I had missed the point. And when I saw the film, I realized that you have to catch the very opening dialogue. In the very opening dialogue, you have a fiddler perched precariously on a perilously steep roof, fiddling. And it is a perilous thing to fiddle. precariously perched on a perilously steep roof. And someone said, you know, that's an image of life. How does one keep one's balance? And then the voice booms out, tradition, tradition. It is by tradition that one is able to negotiate life, which is passage, and keep one's balance. I suppose I loved it so much because my own life was in such shambles at the time, and coming here things began to explode, and I was so aware of the shattering of traditions and the necessity of traditioning, finding new traditions, finding a new way into the future. We sort of threw everything up for grabs, and it was so poignantly personal to me that one needs to find one's way in change that can often be traumatic and dramatic. The need to find one's way into uncharted seas, to find a way to go. And recently, I discovered one of the most helpful descriptions of tradition that I had ever heard. I wish I had known it 20 years ago. I've mentioned it on a Sunday recently. There was an interfaith dialogue in Muskegon in October between the New Testament scholar Krister Stendahl and the rabbi from Jerusalem, David Hartman. And Krister Stendahl spoke about tradition as an instrument of continuity and change. And that was extremely helpful to me. I borrowed the phrase wholesale for the title of the meditation tonight, tradition. An instrument for continuity and change. Now, the fact that tradition is an instrument of continuity is rather obvious. I always understood that. I suppose that's how I always thought of tradition. It is that which connects us to our past. It connects us to those originating events that form us as a people. And it is that instrument that brings to us all of that that has shaped us. We don't come into this world and start out at square one. We start out with a whole lot of stuff. Some would call it baggage. Some would call it cultural or religious endowment, for better or for worse. We don't start out clean. We are predisposed. We are directed, we are inclined, some of us more strongly than others, but we are connected to our past by a tradition that has issued in our moment and our time. So I understood always, I think, that tradition was an instrument of continuity. But I never really understood tradition as an instrument for change. And that is a remarkable insight, that it is our tradition not only that connects us to our past, but enables us with some wisdom to move into those uncharted seas and to find our way in territory never before traversed. Because life is passage, and history is a dynamic movement, and we are caught up in the stream of history. We have no choice. We are moving. Human existence doesn't simply have a series of passages. It is passage. And so we need not only to be connected significantly with our past, but we need wisdom. We need an instrument We need guidance in order to capture the future and to move into it fruitfully with confidence and to harness it and to find significance in it, to enable us to live with a certain confidence without a kind of fearfulness and sense of threat. Our lives are characterized by a past that we cannot recover and a future that we cannot yet grasp, which comes inevitably to us. And we need help. And tradition is an instrument of not only continuity, but of change. But here's the catch. Tradition needs to be then living tradition. And there is a tendency in tradition to become frozen. Well, that's not quite fair. I should rather say there is a tendency in people to freeze the tradition. We who are in the stream of history would so much love to be able to scramble out of the stream and find a place to stand, a safe place, where we could secure ourselves and get a perspective on it all and barricade ourselves from that ongoing movement. But we simply can't. And here again, Christer Stendahl was so helpful with a distinction between a museum tradition and a living tradition. A museum tradition, he illustrated by suggesting that we take a trip with him to his Swedish relatives in Minnesota. I wanted to say to him, we don't really have to go to Minnesota. Let me tell you about my Dutch relatives in Western Michigan, in the Dutch ghetto in Western Michigan, where there has been a kind of cultural heritage that has been preserved and continues to be celebrated, characterized by that which was a part of life 100 or 200 years ago. An immigrant population, it doesn't have to be Dutch or Swedish or Polish or German, it is simply an ethnic characteristic to move into a new territory but to hold on to something of the old, to give some sense of continuity and security. And so he says, if you want to know about a museum tradition, go to Minnesota and you'll see Swedish tradition as a museum piece. But he said, if you want to experience the living Swedish tradition, you must go to Sweden. And the image he used is that of a snake that periodically crawls out of its skin. And the zoologists rush up and examine the skin and measure the skin and take the texture of the skin and then stuff the skin and put it in a glass case and say, there's the snake. And Christer says, no, that's not the snake. The snake is wriggling off some other place. It is living out here. And the stuffed skin is a museum piece. It seems to me that if we would have tradition as an instrument to help us to cope with change and negotiate the future, then tradition must be living. You've heard me quote many times the church historian Pelikan, who said that tradition is the living faith of the dead, but traditionalism is the dead faith of the living. And there is that tendency in us all, and I think it is particularly true in the church, that if we could scramble for a time out of the stream of history, get out of that ongoing movement, find a place to stand, a place to plant our feet, and to dig our heels in, it would seem so safe and so secure. And so what do? This ongoing stream of history over the centuries, we determine where we want to have our place to stand. Maybe if we're Eastern Orthodox, it goes back into those very early centuries and the councils of Nicaea and Chalcedon, and we say, there it was, a statement of timeless and eternal truth. We will absolutize that and perpetuate it on into the future. Or maybe if you're a good Roman Catholic, Thomas, you'll say the 13th century. That is when truth came to expression. Or if you're a good Reformed person, you'll say the 16th century. And all the time, when we are taking a snippet of the whole, lifting it up and absolutizing it, as though having that faith formulation or that mode or style of life, we have the ultimate statement, then we are creating an idol. Don't you see? Tradition is such that it is never final. Human existence doesn't have passages. It is passage. And whether in the first century or the 13th or the 16th or the last decade of the 20th century, to absolutize a perspective on the truth is to create an idol and to deny the very character of our human existence. We never have in our grasp a timeless, eternal statement of truth. We always have a time-conditioned, historically shaped, relative apprehension of that which is beyond the comprehension of any generation or any people. And therefore, we need always to live seeking a faithful interpretation of that essence of the tradition that has shaped us. Open-ended, seeking to find the expression of that essence in a fresh way that will say the same thing in a different world. And therefore, we are a pilgrim people, and we are never through. All of our conclusions are provisional, tentative, and open-ended. And we live in an exciting kind of existence that doesn't have passages, but is passage. But we live in the conviction that God has entangled God's self in that very historical process. God with us in the passage, so that the formulations of the future will be fully as able to reflect the glory of the revelation of God in the past as any formulation to this point. So, a living tradition will enable us who live on a past that we can never recover, with a future that is not yet in our grasp, in the present moment, with confidence, waiting for God's next surprise, never finished, always open, always tentative. You know, when I came back here 20 years ago, the word of Jeremiah was especially meaningful to me. Judah was in exile. Their faith was flagging. And in order to fan those flagging embers of faith into flame, the prophet wrote to them a letter saying, God has plans for you. Plans of good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And as the decades passed, another prophet came to that people and announced the impending salvation of the God of Judah, the God of Israel, who was equal to the moment. And in the marvelous words of that prophet, God says, cease to dwell on days gone by and to brood over past history. Here and now I will do a new thing. This moment it will break from the bud. Can you not perceive it? I suppose a contemporary translation of that could be, don't you see it? This bud's for you. Your future is not behind you. The golden age is not some past day. Cease dwelling on days gone by, brooding over past history. Don't you see it? It is about to bud and break forth. I am the God that creates a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. I will create drink for my people. And a few of them went home. They went back to Jerusalem. And they rebuilt the walls eventually. And they built another temple. It didn't have the glory of Solomon's temple, but it was a temple. It wasn't all over. It wasn't according to their plan, but it wasn't all over. And one day, a young Jewish girl had a baby. And she called his name Jesus, and she and Joseph brought him to that temple. And an old man came to the temple and took that baby in his arms and said to Mary, this child will be a sign to be rejected. By him many will fall and rise in Israel. And so it was. Many stumbled over this one, because he didn't fit the preconceived idea of how God ought to be constructing the ongoing drama of history. And this one child, who was held in Simeon's arms, stood on the Mount of Olives one day and looked over Jerusalem. And he wept. And he said, if only you knew the things that make for your peace, but they are hid from your eyes. You have missed God's moment. Dear friends, God's people have been missing God's moment. God only knows how regularly down through the centuries, because we would make tradition that which connects us to the past and fail to see that as a living and dynamic growing thing, it must take us into the future where God would always beckon us to be. The God of the future who is able to be present to God's world and God's people as much as any day in the past of God's faithfulness. I think of the Christian church today, it may be very much like Israel in Jesus' day, so certain it has the final word in all of the truth, walling itself against other religions and other movements, protective, defensive, letting the world stand on the brink of destruction because of the fundamentalism of religions that claim the exclusivity of the truth, and we fail to recognize that God may be calling us into the 21st century to witness to the inclusivity and universality of a communion that embraces the whole world. But maybe tonight that isn't really first on your agenda. Maybe tonight you're wondering how you're going to get through tomorrow. Then let the text be God's word to you. Cease to dwell on days gone by and to brood over history past. Your future's not behind you, for God is able to do a surprising new thing for you. God, who can create rivers in the desert and a way through the wilderness. God, who has been faithful in the past and will be equal to tomorrow. The God who has blessed us thus far and will never let us go. For that which is behind us is simply the prologue to that which lies before us. God with us. Thank God.